Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. It is Hump Day Wednesday. Great to be with you again. We are in the middle of Death Week. All right, I'm sorry, I won't do that again. Well, today we're talking about the immortality of the soul. That teaching that Martin Luther called it a dunghill from Roman creeds. That's right, Luther called it a dunghill, and I have to say I agree with Martin Luther's assessment. He didn't hit too light there either, and he hit just strong enough, I think, by calling the teaching of the immortality of the soul a dunghill. It's not in Scripture, first of all. It's a philosophy invented by blind philosophers. In Acts 17, Paul talks about the philosophers and how they groped in the dark. They were just groping around, feeling around, and they could never arrive at the truth. They came up with some true statements, but they didn't come to the truth. And the philosophers just groped around. They never arrived at the truth. I remember one time that I was part of a group, an organization, and they had a doctrinal statement. And when I started to see the truth regarding death in Scripture, I remember sitting down with some of the gentlemen regarding their doctrinal statement, because they had so much in there about the immortality of the soul. And as we went Scripture by Scripture, I got them to admit that none of the Scriptures they had for the immortality of the soul had anything to do with the immortality of the soul. But they said, well, it's implied in Scripture. How about that? It's implied. What a bunch of nonsense. It's not implied anywhere. Satan denied that man was mortal. Genesis 3:4, this is what Satan says. But the serpent said to the woman, not to die shall you be dying. Even though Elohim said that he was going to die, he says if in Genesis 2, we read in verse 17, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you must not eat from it. For on the day you eat from it, to die, you shall be dying. It's the process of death that started the day that Adam took of the fruit, and he finally died when he was over 900 years old. But Satan denied it. But what did God say in Genesis 3:19? Well, Satan was wrong. He says, by the sweat of your brow shall you eat your bread until you return to the ground, for from it were you taken, for soil you are, and to soil shall you return. So man is not immortal. And that's why Adam and Eve got the boot from the Garden of Eden. If they ate of that tree, they would have been immortal, at least for the eon, it says. They would have been preserved alive through old age and sickness. And it was actually a mercy that God made them die, because they would have kept living on and on, even through the troubles of old age. But God barred that possibility. He barred that thing from happening when he sent the cherubim to guard the tree of life in the middle of the garden. And that assured us that only in Christ can one have immortal life. Now, speaking of this word immortality, did you know that there are only two places this word occurs in all of Scripture? There are only two. Search and see if you can find it. The King James, I think, translates immortality a few times, but like in Romans 2, it talks about immortality in the King James, but it's really incorruption. The King James messed it up there again. But there's only two places we read about immortality. The first one of them is in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, you can turn there, verse 16. We read this, speaking of Christ, he is King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality. So Christ alone has immortality. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:53 through 54, immortality is something that we will put on when we are vivified. Verse 53, it says that for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. It's something we get when we're vivified. So Christ alone has it, and it's something we get when we're vivified. Now, the word vivified means resurrected beyond the power of death. We'll never die again. Let me repeat, there are no passages, there's not one in all of Scripture that says man is immortal. Look them up. I looked up every reference to soul, something like 857 references to Hebrew and Greek, and never once is the soul connected with immortality. You know, a preacher once said that parents create immortal souls when they have a baby. A preacher actually said this, and he called it an awesome power. Imagine that. Imagine the idea that parents, teaching that parents create an immortal soul. Why not give parents the all the qualities of deity? So it just shows you how degenerate theology has become. Now, I have to admit it's a human desire not to want death. It's a human desire not to want death to be the end. God put that desire in us. However, philosophers like Plato, they reasoned the wrong way. Plato didn't want to believe that death was the end, but his reasoning was wrong. He was ignorant of God's power to raise the dead. Plato actually denied the reality of death. He limited death to the body. In other words, just like the death of a body. Does that sound familiar? Like Christendom? He made the soul immortal, and that way death wasn't really death. However, 1 Corinthians 15 denies this. It just throws it right out. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 28, it says here, verse 22, "For even as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified." Now, this statement alone denies the teaching that man is immortal. Christ is going to vivify mankind, and that's why they need that, because they're not mortal, immortal. Excuse me. They need it because they're mortal. Christ is alone answers the longings of Plato and all those who don't want death to be the end. However, we shouldn't look for some kind of humanistic or philosophical immortality of the soul to try to answer it. The scriptures teach us that man's present life is like a vapor and it dissolves awfully quickly. And God doesn't want this. He has a better destiny for man. But God doesn't reach his goal through Plato's or Christendom's view of immortality. God arrives at his goal through death, followed by resurrection. Men aren't kept alive, they will be made alive. Let me repeat this. Men aren't kept alive. They're not kept alive. He let Adam die. He barred him from the tree of life after he sinned. He didn't want man alive in that condition. However, God didn't keep men alive even after they died through some immortality of the soul. They will be made alive. Men aren't kept alive. They will be made alive. And to deny death is to deny the means of God's glory. Death is an opportunity for God to manifest his power and love. John chapter 11, the Lord Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby." Death is the means through which God will manifest his power, his love, and grace. Believe it. No more of this awful doctrine of the natural immortality of the soul. Now, I didn't get to everything I said I was going to get to. Tomorrow, I will be getting to, I hope tomorrow, but we need to talk. I want to show you how in history, nations and people have used the teaching of the immortality of the soul to produce some awful things and violence. I want to talk about Egypt and their view of the immortality of the soul. Some Christian kings who used the teaching of the immortality of the soul to burn people at the stake, and how some heathen nations, the people who sacked Rome, became so violent and vicious in battle because of their belief in the immortality of the soul and its cousin, the transmigration of souls. This is a history lesson I think you'll enjoy, and it's necessary to see where this stuff comes from. It certainly does not come from the Word of God. Well, this is Dan Sheridan. Great to be with you once again today. What great news we had today. In Christ shall all be vivified. What a wonderful truth. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God through the correctly cut and correctly translated scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial it will be. Have a great day.